All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. There's only one piece of news, really. There's only one thing to discuss, and that is that Liam Gallagher's new album, Why Me, Why Not, has now been released. Well, by the time I'm recording this, it hasn't officially, but by the time you're hearing it, it will have. So, it leaked a couple of days ago, which was great. I did actually try and get hold of a copy from Warner Brothers, but they didn't send me one, and they just generally ignored me, which is typically how I'm treated by them, which is fine. I'm sure they've got bigger fish to fry, but it would have been nice to get an advance copy, especially as people like Jeff Slate, who has come on this podcast before, has had one, and Richard Bowes, who wrote the review for Live Forever, who's a friend of the pod, has had one, but obviously the Oasis podcast doesn't get one. But there we go, that's fine, no problem. I was happy to wait for the leak, which I got, and so we'll be talking about that today. You'll get my thoughts on it, and you'll get thoughts of the various assorted people that I managed to get hold of and get their thoughts on it, who I haven't got yet at the time I'm recording this. So just before we get into that, just to remind you guys of the two upcoming live events we've got. First up, I am in The Water Rats with Alan McGee on October the 11th. It's going to be a great show. I'm going to be doing a Q&A with Alan, and there'll be music from a fantastic young band called The Clockworks, who are one of the hottest young bands in the country. So please come on down and check that out. It's going to be a great night. And last time with Tony McCarroll, it's an absolutely fantastic night. So if it's half as good as that, then that one will have been twice as good as this one. And then 1st of November, we're heading up to Glasgow for Tony McCarroll again at Stereo Bar, which is in the city centre of Glasgow. And that's also going to be a set from the Oasis tribute band Columbia. So absolutely fantastic. Really looking forward to that show. All the usual Oasis podcasts, sort of fun and games, and also, you know, Tony McCarroll and a brilliant set of Oasis tunes from Columbia. So, plugs over, let's have a chat about the album, shall we? So generally, my first view is that it's a shame that the four songs that we've had so far kind of preceded the album. This has happened before with a few albums where, you know, when you've already heard sort of four of the songs, and typically it often ends up, you know, with it being the singles, four of the best songs. So, it's always a little bit disappointing because you sort of, what I'm then tend to be reviewing is kind of the you know, the rest. Whereas actually, you know, we need to think of this in the context of all of those four tracks being on there as well, because, you know, Shockwave, Once, One of Us and The River are all absolutely fantastic. I mean, you've heard my, if you've heard the previous episodes, you'll have heard my thoughts on them. I think they're all great songs. I think Shockwave is an absolute stomper and an absolutely brilliant way to start the album. To then go into One of Us, I think is excellent because, you know, One of Us, it's not all out rock attack like Shockwave is, but it's got that really cool sort of Ian Brown kind of groove to it, which I think is a really nice way to move into like the second track. And then sort of that kind of weird orchestral sort of soulful ending with all the choir and stuff, I think is really good. And then that then links really well into Once, which is a great sort of track three, you know, a really big ballad similar to Wonderwall is track three on Morning Glory. So I think that works really well.
was easier to have fun back when we had nothing, nothing much to manage. Back when we were damaged. Sometimes the freedom we wanted feels so uncool.
And then after that we get into Now That I've Found You. And, you know, for people out there that are listening to the album, yes, you know these songs. And then we get into Now That I've Found You, which is just the most joyous and fun pop song I've heard in ages. It's a pop song. Like, yeah, I remember when As You Were came out, I kind of said it was a pop album, and a few people sort of questioned it. No, it's not pop. You know, Lady Gaga's pop. This is rock and roll. Look, this is pop. This is Elton John. It's McFly. It's Motown. It's just really good, fun pop album. It's a well-written song, and it's really brisk and a lovely pace to it and a lovely melody, and it's just a great pop song. So I absolutely love Now That I Found You. Halo then goes into more of like a BDI, it's basically BDI covering the Stones' Let's Spend the Night Together, right? It's got that, especially in the, there's that one particular section where the melody is very close to Let's Spend the Night Together.
I can get a little better, follow her lead to the letter, we can bang a gun for. Let's spend the night together. Now I need you more than ever. Let's spend the night together.
And then the piano all the way through it is very much in that sort of BDI, Bring the Light sort of style. You know, once again, I think it's a good song. I don't think it's like a mind-blowing song. I think it wouldn't be out of place on like a BDI album. But yeah, I think it's good. Why Me, Why Not as well in the title track of the album. Once again, I think this is really good. It sort of starts off with that like heavy drumming kind of sound. And yeah, once again, I think it's very good. I think it's got a good melody. It goes interesting places. And it's a good summation of the album itself. So I think it works as a title track.
Then we get into Be Still, which is, you know, a straightforward sort of rock song. Once again, quite poppy. I like the lyrics of that one. That seems to be a specific callback to the, sort of the whole, you know, Oasis and sort of that kind of stuff. You know, the fact he talks about my mama said, he's talking about the whole family dynamic and things, but we won't get into that too much. But yeah, I think it's fine. It's probably the first sort of filler track on the album, I'd say.
My mama said, keep moving. Though you're down, you're gonna rise again. Come on, darling, don't get in your head. You know the wheel's still in spin. Even though your heart is breaking. Changes, I'll keep changing. Keep me still.
All Right Now is very, very John Lennon. Very sort of John Lennon solo.
And then the guitar solo is very George Harrison. And once again, I think that's another one that's kind of filler. I'm like, yep, yeah, it's fine. I quite like it. I don't know. It might grow on me because, you know, back when the first album came out, As You Were, tracks like Bold and Universal Gleam, I just thought were fine, sort of filler tracks. Whereas they then did grow on me a lot, actually. So it might well grow on me. But at the moment, it's just like, yeah, it's a nice sort of John Lennon soloist type song.
Well, you moved to LA first time under the law. Yeah, you had your fun, so you thought it's time to move on. But the pretty girls from the underworld made it easier said than done. Yeah, soon enough you were hanging out, you were back where you begun. But maybe it's all right now.
The Meadow. Now, this one is very much Pink Floyd. Now, that's what it feels like to me. It just feels like sort of Dark Side of the Moon era Pink Floyd, which, you know, I really like Pink Floyd, so I think it's really good. I think there's a lot of interesting chord changes. The melody goes in different ways that you wouldn't quite expect, so it's a little bit sort of psychedelic and slightly sort of off-kilter, which, if you listen to this podcast, you know I really like that. So that's different. A lot of Liam's songs tend to be very simple, and just covering the sort of the you know, you can kind of guess where they're going to go, both in terms of chord sequences and melody and structure. Whereas this is that little bit different. You know, it has got that sort of quirkiness to it, and it's, as I say, it's very Pink Floyd, very sort of psychedelic-y, Beatles-y, and I think that's great. I really like that about it.
The rain is blowing at your window, and you've come so many miles. But all still, don't try to fight the shadows in your mind. It's a long, 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 lonely life. Sometimes
then you go into the river, which is that huge stomper that we, you know, that we've already heard, which is great. And I think that's a really nice place for that to be on the record. It's similar to sort of Morning Glory coming near the end of the What's the Story Morning Glory album. You've had these sort of lower, sort of calmer moments with All Right Now and The Meadow. And then you have a bit of a stomper with the river. And then the final track is Gone. Now, Gone, I think, is once again a really, really strong track. I really love the sound of the guitars on it. It's kind of got like an American sort of western-y feel. Not too dissimilar to a few tracks on the first Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds album, actually. But yeah, so it feels more like a sort of a Tarantino-ish sort of sound to it. It's got that that sort of, you know, low guitar line, which I think is very cool. It's got that interesting like spoken word segment at the end, which I really like. I thought it was a bit weird at first, but actually I think it's cool because Liam has got a cool spoken voice, and he's not sort of doing an American accent, he's doing his own Manchester accent. So yeah, so I think that's really great.
Now I want to tell you something. I ain't never seen the likes of you before, so I was willing while you push me, but you finally push me out the door. So I wanna hear you say it.
So that's the 11 tracks. It's a pretty breezy, quick album at 39 minutes and 30 seconds long. And generally, yeah, I think it's very good. What could it have been? It could have been rockier. We could have had more tracks in sort of the Shockwave, the River, sort of more punkier tracks. And I think it is interesting that Liam said in an interview a while ago that, you know, the next one after this, after he's had a bit of a break, he wants to come back with like a proper sort of punk album. Because on this, you know, you've got quite a few kind of mid-paced tracks. All Right Now, Gone. So yeah, generally looking at the 11 tracks that make up the album, yes, I think it's a good album. I think it's a very strong album, especially with, you know, when you do take into account Shockwave, One of Us, Once in the River, as four really strong songs, mixing those with Gone, Meadow, Now That I Found You, I think are all very, very strong as well. Halo, Why Me, Why Not, Be Still, All Right Now, I think are fine, are good songs. So all in all, I think it's probably at a similar level, to be honest, as You Were. And it was not all about comparing something to another thing, but you know, I think it is generally, the songs are all good and strong. I think we have to call out a couple of the sort of the dodgy lyrics on there. There's that where he talks about, she's my mittens, keep me warm, she's my lager, nice and cold. I mean, that's not very good. I think there's a few bits in there, the melodies, like there's a few yeah yeahs and things like that that just feel a bit unnecessary. Because, you know, you're hearing something that's different and new, and then Liam will do a yeah or a yeah yeah, and it's like, okay, well, we've kind of heard that before. So that's sort of slightly annoying. And if you'd taken those out, I think generally the album would have been a little bit more original and sounded less like, you know, more of the same. And then when you look at the bonus tracks, you've got Invisible Sun, which is the most sort of Ian Brown kind of Manx swagger, I think, of any of the tracks. I am away. All my face up to the light. I will be free. Yeah. And yes, I'll take my time, 'cause I don't want what is not mine. Like the heat from an invisible. Misunderstood, which is sort of a nice ballad, once again another kind of slow sort of John Lennon solo sort of ballad style song. I think the lyrics in that one are really good. They christen you a lost cause, but they ain't fighting your wars. All you need's a little love. You're an angel in the making. Maybe you're misunderstood. Glimmer, which is a really joyous, breezy, sort of similar to Now That I Found You in that style, but not necessarily in the song itself. I think it's got a real sort of early to mid-period Beatles-y feel to it, something like I've Just Seen a Place. You know, it really breezes along, and yeah, it's just a really good, fun song. The world's at war outside the window, babe, but you and I still have our bed. You're still leaving. I know it's not your fault. The pain is setting. You're drawing curtains and saying farewell to it all. But I still see the way you glimmer. Shine on, baby. Never let it get you down. I think, ideally, given the choice, once again, I think it's quite MOR, it's quite pop. If I was Liam's manager or, you know, record label boss, I'd be, you know, telling him to turn the guitars up a bit. You know, I'd be probably doing a bit more heavier stuff, more Shockwaves, more The Rivers, and less of the, you know, Be Still and All Right Nows, just to give it a bit more of a punch, a bit more of a rock album. But that's my preference. You know, I like the Oasis sound, and I'd rather have that on there. And as I say, I would probably have tidied up a few of those lyrics. I know he's got these songwriters working with him, but he still seems to be driving a lot of it, as far as I can tell, because, you know, you do think there's a few sort of howlers in there that probably wouldn't have made the cut. So anyway, that's my initial thoughts. I'm sure it will grow on me, and my decision will change over time. In terms of rating, I'd probably give it a 8 out of 10, or maybe 7.5 if I was being stingy. I'll have to go through and sort of look at the individual tracks as well. But yeah, overall, a very good pop rock album. Liam's voice sounds excellent in it. I think that the instrumentation, the production is very good, although not quite as heavy as would be my preference. But once again, this is exactly what he needs to do, which is to appeal to the Radio 2 crowd, appeal to, you know, to sell hundreds of thousands of copies. This is kind of the way that, he's had to do it with Warner Brothers to make that happen. So, I look forward to seeing it live when he's out and about again. I wonder which of these tracks he will play live, because the only thing we've heard him do where he's played a few of these tracks was the MTV Unplugged gig he did in Hull. And there, all he added was, "Now that I've found you, why me, why not? One of us, once and gone." So whether those would make the set, I mean, they're more sort of acoustic-y, so I think they would work well at the MTV Unplugged, not necessarily as much playing big arenas, where if you're playing the slower songs, you typically want to play the Oasis slower songs, personally. And I would imagine more that, you know, he'd be looking to play a few of the more upbeat, rocky ones. So, but we'll see. We'll see when those sort of gigs start up in the next month or so. But anyway, so that's my initial reactions. It'd be great to hear from you. If you want to send an audio message, do record it, ping it over to me, oasispod@gmail.com. And after this brief musical interlude, let's go on to some other thoughts on the album.
Well, come on. Afraid of the thought police. You say our generation is forsaken.
Okay, so I wanted to get a few more initial reactions, and that's what we've done. Obviously, only a few people have got to hear it so far, which is generally either the people that had a preview copy or Dirty Pirates. And someone that had a preview copy and has always got strong views on Liam stuff is Jeff Slate. So let's hear from Jeff.
All right. So welcome back to the Oasis podcast, Jeff Slate. How the hell are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on in your world?
Well, I just did a long interview with Noel Gallagher, pegged to the EP that's coming out imminently, as well as the one that's coming out. Well, the one that came out previously, and then also there's going to be one at Christmas time, and just sort of life in general. It's a little bit different. That'll be in the Wall Street Journal coming up soon, and then I'll probably have another one, I think, later in the year with Rockefeller Magazine. So that's as far as the Oasis world is concerned. And then I'm making a new record, and I'm doing a show. I'm musical director for a show out in Los Angeles that the Tom Petty folks are putting on to celebrate his legacy. It's a big charity bash with an all-star cast. So that's, you know, pretty exciting, you know, in the Americana world, I guess, for the classic rock world.
Fantastic. You just thought you'd rub it in there that you're close friends with Noel Gallagher and he, you know, always interviews with you. That's fine. You just keep mentioning that. No problem.
I would never portray it as close friends. We, you know, it's, if he ran me over in his limo in the street, he wouldn't think twice or know who I was. But I mean, we've done that dance quite a few times, and so it's comfortable. And he's a great interview. I mean, he really is a great interview.
Sure, wonderful. All right, well, that's the Noel world. We're going to have a quick chat today about the Liam world, if that's all right, because Liam's album is out, well, tomorrow officially, but we've all heard it. So you heard it before me, and I had a little message from you ages ago. And Warner still haven't got in touch with me, so I don't know quite what's going on there. But you got it nice and early. You're connected, obviously.
Well, they were, you know, I think they were eager to get some coverage here in the U.S., especially from, you know, if they could get a couple of major publications. And I just couldn't really find any interest, you know, for a couple of reasons. I think the feeling generally was that it wasn't great, and secondly that, you know, given his issue with his hands over in, you know, in the pub last Christmas time, you know, a lot of editors, male or female, just didn't want to touch him, just didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Really? And so that's basically the case. I mean, obviously, all the reviews are coming out here, and we've got all the Guardian and the Independent, and everyone is basically reviewing it here. But that's a good point. I haven't really seen many American reviews. Is that that's basically what the reason why, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Liam has a certain, you know, for better or worse, a certain laddish fan base, and they're a great fan base to have, and that's there's probably more of that in the UK, and he's more of an institution in the UK. In America, you know, Oasis, you can find fans, and you can find a lot of them, but I don't think he really registers all that high on the radar of the casual, more casual music fan, and you know, he doesn't promote his articles and on his social media or anything like that. So it's hard, I think, for most editors to feel like they want to get behind something when they're not really passionate about it. I think they can, when it was, you know, if there were an Oasis reunion or he wanted to give a sort of wide-ranging interview about something beyond the album, I think there might be more generalized interest. But, you know, there's a culture here that is, you know, it's not politically correct by any stretch of the imagination, but people are careful about who they want to put their publications behind now. And if you have issues, I think they think twice. That's just, you know, that's sort of the, I've had that conversation with more than one editor. Other editors, you know, I've had the conversation with, they're covering him and they don't have a problem. And you'll see reviews, I think, but I think it's going to be harder for him to break through. I mean, he's going to do the right thing. He's going to open for The Who, and he's going to do a set chock full of Oasis songs. And, you know, rumor is, you've probably heard this too, that Bonehead's going to join him on some of the shows. And mm-hmm. I think that will help get him attention. But, I think that's where we're at right now.
Very interesting. And what did you think of the album as well? So you had it a long time ago. What was your initial thoughts, and have you sort of gone back to it and given much more of a listen since?
I've tried a couple of times. I listened to it initially because they were pitching me to do an interview. I had a pretty bad experience with him last cycle, interviewing him for the first album. To go out on a limb, I wanted to feel really passionately about it. I was underwhelmed is an understatement, I would say. I mean, I just think it's a terrible, I know people like it, and certainly there are elements in the songs that are good, but as I've been joking to people who have asked me, I said he's made the best Robbie Williams album of 2005. I mean, it sounds dated. It's a pop record. It has a few flashes of the Oasis sound, but it's sort of more beady-eyed than it is Oasis. And the songs are, you know, if the first album the songs were okay, these songs are a cut below that, I think.
Wow. Okay. That's don't hold back there, Jeff.
the rhymes in Once, the sort of, you know, the glass of wine or All Right Now, or it's like they're sort of Moon and June rhymes that are,
yeah.
I mean, the lyrics are appallingly bad, and the music is just kind of, it's sort of faux Oasis mania kind of sound. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's for diehard fans and for very casual listeners who just want to, you know, have a jolt of nostalgia, it will certainly fit the bill more than what Noel Gallagher is doing.
Mm.
But if you're looking for, you know, I mean, if you're looking for an artistic statement or something that's on par with any of the decent Oasis records, it's not remotely that. It's not even as good as the first record, and the first record was sort of mediocre to start with. So, you know, that's... But it's the lyrics. I mean, the lyrics are
okay,
really bad, and the forays into kind of sounds that aren't Oasis sounding are so poppy and kind of cookie cutter to be just cloying. I think, yeah, I'm not holding back, am I?
Well, that's great. As I think I said, it's nice to get a spectrum of opinions, and many of the, most of my fan base is generally, obviously Oasis fans, and then typically the Oasis fans are skewing more towards Liam than Noel these days. Partly I think.
Yeah, well, look, he's playing to his strengths. Live, he's certainly playing to his strengths. I mean, he can't really sing, and the band is sort of very, very average. But he's playing the hits, and he's presenting himself as, the voice and soul of Oasis, and I think that is smart. That's a good way to present himself. He also has a ready-made diehard audience, and they're going to bring their kids and their friends and so forth. So that's a good thing. I've seen the set list from the gigs he's done. He's not doing a lot of these songs. No. He's doing like two or three from the first record and two or three from this record and a bunch of Oasis songs.
Mm.
That's great. And he should. That's what he has in his holster. But, just sort of trying to judge. And look, I'm as big an Oasis. I'm going to get hate mail from this. I always do when I appear on your show. But, I'm as big an Oasis fan as any of the people out there. And they can scoff at that, but it's true. I think the problem for me is, I go into this wanting it to be great and wanting him to be doing something that's sort of worthy of his legend and his name. And I just don't think this is it. I think it's a rehash of the first album, which was a rehash of, kind of the sort of mediocre moments of Oasis. So, it's disappointing. For me as a fan, it's a bit heartbreaking to see him out there singing songs that, like Once is it starts off like, oh, this is maybe going to be it. And then it just falls apart lyrically. And, certainly live, his voice is a shadow of what it was. And that's just, for me, that's just endlessly disappointing. So as a fan.
Mm.
So.
What would you do if you were Debbie, and you're not quite as attractive as Debbie Jeff, but let's say you were, or you're head of Warner right now, what would you have done with him in this cycle?
Well, I certainly would have shaken up the team. He needs a better band, first of all, and he should be playing in the studio with a band, not tracking things one by one. I think he feeds off the creative energy of a band situation. Certainly everybody knows that when they were making the last couple of Oasis records, he was working with Gam especially, but Andy as well, kind of like pulling songs out of him and trying to craft songs out of his ideas. These are more like this is sort of the Ringo model. He's throwing in lyrical ideas or themes, and they're crafting songs that they think sound like Oasis. It's sort of LA guys making almost Oasis jingles, and that's, look, there's a market for that, and it pushes people's buttons, and it'll get on the radio, and it maybe sounds good a couple of times to people, and that's cool, but this is not a record that people are going to be listening to in 5 years' time, probably 5 months' time, and that's what I think he should be doing. They should be looking for better songs. They should be trying to find people with him that he can develop a long-term creative relationship with, who aren't just kind of studio cats, that are just kind of like crafting quote-unquote hits for him. They're trying to make music that is befitting his status. I mean, he's Liam Gallagher. He should have, and he should be pushing himself. I mean, I will say this, I've had this conversation with Noel a few times, and he always talks about Oasis, his time in Oasis and dealing with Liam, as Liam being scared of trying new things, different things. And, he told me this story about when he brought in cigarettes and alcohol. He said, Liam was like, oh, we can't do that. People are going to laugh at us. And that was, so now we think of cigarettes and alcohol as an anthem and a classic. But at the time, it was very different from what was on the radio. So his default is to do the same thing again. And whenever you're doing the same thing over and over, it's going to be more than likely a shadow of the previous version, which we're now sort of 20 years removed for 25 years removed from Definitely Maybe and What's the Story. So it's, you know, how close are you going to get to that with guys who are just, you know, sort of on a paycheck creating this music. I think it would befit him to have people who are, who want to push him creatively and artistically, and who want to write, you know, some songs that are outside his comfort zone as well. So, you know, that's hard. That's hard to do. It's hard to find those people. And I'm sure, you know, just my own experience dealing with him for, like, you know, photo shoots and interviews and things like that, I think he's probably pretty difficult to focus and work with and corral. And I think, you know, that takes a certain patience and a certain type of person. A lot of people are just not going to want to be involved. So, you know, it's hard. I think it's a difficult situation.
No, that's really interesting. It's a really good, an interesting point of view. I think that what I've sort of said, I really like the record. I think it's got, like, I'm with you that lyrics, especially bad lyrics, do just take me out of it completely. And that's, you know, being fair, that's something I've kind of had issues with on some of Noel's recent stuff as well, when he's sort of going with the, you know, you are the mountain I must climb, and you think, oh, come on, Noel, like, you know, just don't give it just cliche. Whereas Noel does kind of acceptable rock cliche, whereas Liam just does, like, what? Oh, come on, that's just directly lifting from, you know, from a Beatles song or a Stone song or something. So, but what I've always thought is that, you know, and I thought this about the first album, and I still think about this one. For me, if he was working with just getting a closer sound to Definitely Maybe, or a punkier sound, like a more aggressive rock and roll sound, you know, and working with someone to do that, that would be, for me, I think would be a far better fit for him. But I think that, and just forget him writing songs, you know, just go and get, you know, the best 12 songs from the most exciting new writers, whether it be new people or whether it be pulling out, like, the real people or Richard Ashcroft, whoever it is, and just get 12 absolutely brilliant songs and just get him to sing them. And because, you know, what he tends to do when he writes his own songs is they do tend to be very Lennon solo and often quite melancholic and quiet when he writes himself. And actually then that doesn't play into then, you know, the coming through to the record and then coming through to live as well. So that would be what I would do. I would have had it far more sort of rock and
well,
heavier
guitars.
Well, you
make it sound easy, but, I mean, you got to remember it's hard to find those songs, first of all. And second of all, they're on a schedule. You know, they're trying to get him out there on a particular timetable. And so to find those 12 songs, I mean, you're really looking for more like 20 or 30, because he's got to pick through them and find songs he can be comfortable singing. You know, to find those when you have sessions looming. I mean, you know, they put him right back in the studio in the middle of the tail end of last year when he was still on tour. I think it's going to be awfully hard to get any kind of focus or sort of bold creative decision making going on when you're, like, you know, the clock's ticking and the studio clock is ticking and you need to have at least 4 songs that you can call singles in your pocket. And so that's, you know, I think it's easy to say these things. Look, I think the bottom line is we've now gotten 4 essentially solo records from Liam Gallagher. We've got the 2 BDI records and the 2 solo records. There's no B-sides, you know, so this is it. We're getting as much as he's creating. And they're okay. Now, people can like them, you know, they can sort of, like you, you know, you're like, okay, well, I like it. I'm enjoying it. The lyrics are bad, but I'm willing to excuse that. It's Liam Gallagher. And I had this conversation with an editor here at a major magazine last week. He, you know, he thinks it's good. He doesn't like Noel's stuff, and he really likes Liam. That's nostalgia talking, is my point of view, but I think that's okay. That's fine. But I think we now have 4 records, and they're very, very, very average. I mean, they do not stand up in any meaningful way to anything he did with Oasis, not consistently. There might be a song here or there that is better than, you know, Songbird or something, but mm-hmm. or I'm Out of Time. But I don't know. I listened to I'm Out of Time not that long ago, and I thought, wow, you know, if he was doing something as good as this, I'd probably listen to it or be more forgiving about it. So, you know, we've got those four records. That's what he's capable of. That's what he's choosing to do artistically. If you like it, more power to you. I'm out. I'm kind of, you know, it's like with every release, I'm a little less interested.
Fair enough. Brilliant. All right. Well, Jeff, well, thank you so much for your time. It's greatly appreciated. And, you know, it's really great to get that kind of, as I say, insider view, especially from within the American industry, both magazine and sort of from the musician world. So, yes, very interesting. And I hope you look forward to getting that hate mail from the Liam fans.
I will. I know I will. And I want to reiterate, you know, it's like a lot of us here are fans of his, and we do wish him well, and we do want to see him do well. He makes it awfully hard. His social media is, you know, it may be humorous, but it's hard to like and hard to stomach sometimes. And the music is, you know, most of the people I've talked to here, except for one or two people, two editors, just kind of shrug, and they're a little like, he has a new album out? You know, oh, that, yeah, no, I'm pass. And the movie, I don't think, did him any favor, certainly here. Most people were underwhelmed by the film. So, I think that's where he's at. So, but I'll be interested. I think it's going to do well. I think it'll probably do okay, certainly in, you know, with his fan base in the UK and pull in some poppier fans because it does have a pop sound. But I don't think it will have the legs, you know, that the other one did, because the other one was first. And there was a little bit of excitement about it.
Wonderful. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated.
Always.
So there we go. That was Jeff Slate's views. I'd like to point out that Jeff Slate's views do not represent the views of the Oasis podcast. And if you would like to give your feelings to Jeff, he is available on Twitter at Jeff Slate. Right, there we go. So, okay, let's get a more positive viewpoint now, shall we? Let's go over to our good friend who's been, this will be three episodes in a row we've heard from her, Sam Shiner.
Hello, Sam. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm very good. We must stop meeting like this.
I know, we should, didn't we? But there you go, we've got a common ground.
Yes. First off, how was the show on Saturday, previous Saturday, in Coventry?
Coventry? It was amazing.
Was it? Then?
Do you know what? I was really nervous up until about 3 weeks before. And then on the day, I just had this like overwhelming sense of calm. It was so weird.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was fine.
But everyone went off without a hitch? All the bands okay?
Yeah, apart from the first band was supposed to turn up at 3 o'clock with all the backline, because all the bands are sharing the backline, because we had so many people.
Yeah.
They were like, right, we're all going to share the backline. So the first one was supposed to be there with me at 3. 4:30 they turned up.
Classic.
I had like two bands with me, and I was like, right, okay, the show cannot go on. But yeah, it was fine. Everyone was there, we all got sound checked, and it was fine.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was great.
And did the Lathams, were they well behaved? They looked like they might have been firing pea shooters around and things like that. They're only babies, those guys.
Me and the Lathams went out after.
What, for milkshakes? They can't drink,
milkshakes.
Surely. They're about 12.
They're 19, they can drink.
19?
Yeah.
19 months, anyway. I'm just jealous because I'm old. They're just like so, they're so young and fresh face. I'm like, well, I'm sure.
That's so precious to me.
Yeah.
So precious.
Wonderful. Anyway, so the big news of today. Well, hold on a minute. You just said, I'm just on the phone to a radio station. What is going on? You've become like the superstar. What's this monster that we've created?
Shine pop.
Exactly, shine pop. That's what it's all about. But who was that? What's all that about then?
I can't even remember what the radio station was called. What's that? Because he was supposed to phone me last week, and then I couldn't do it last week, so all of a sudden he just FaceTimed me, and I was like, hello.
Ooh, okay.
Like, the fucking FaceTime?
Bit forward.
I'm not ready for that. So he's like, I'll ring you. I just had a random radio interview. So water for ducks back now, James.
Of course, that's it. That's it. All right, well, we're here to talk about Why Me, Why Not. So you've got it, you randomly had it appear at your house early, like a few people did today. That's mad, isn't it?
It turned up at 11 a.m. this morning.
And you weren't in work or something. You would have been pretty gutted if you got home and and you had to go and get it tomorrow or whatever.
I know.
That was lucky.
That normally happens. But no, I was working from home today, but I had to take my nan to hospital this afternoon, so I couldn't listen to it until tonight.
Oh,
so, but
no.
It's amazing. It's so good.
Well, what do you think? What's your initial reaction?
Oh my God, it's so much better than his first album.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
It's amazing. The first track, the one that I did a little snippet of,
yeah,
it's gonna blow your mind. Blow your little mind.
Well, I've heard it. I have heard all the album, but I didn't pre-order. I've just been a pirate and got hold of a sort of.
So you just downloaded stuff from the internet.
I do. I know. I'm a horrible pirate. The Gallaghers haven't had enough of my money over the past, so you know. I thought this one was fair enough. You know, they've had enough of my money and free promotion. Hold on a minute. I should have been getting a free.
He's just Parker's, James. He's just Parker's.
I should have been getting a free copy anyway. So, you know. Yeah, exactly. The amount of stuff
we do
for them.
Work we do.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I've heard it. So, yeah, what was the you dropped a snippet of Be Still, didn't you, I think?
Yeah.
So what?
Only about, I think it's about 7 seconds of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be on this post and they go, oh, you spoiled it for me. I don't think it was till midnight. So I thought I'm just going to a little snippet of it.
Yeah,
God, it's such a banger.
What, Be Still?
Amazing. Yeah.
Have you listened to it enough to actually give thoughts on the individual tracks yet, or is it all a bit of a blur at the moment?
I've only listened to it 3 times. So, yeah, that's not enough. But do you know when you listen to an album for the first time?
Yeah.
And it sounds like a certain way, and then all of a sudden, when the album drops, it sounds totally different.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you start ranking things.
Yes.
Like you can think, oh yeah, that's a great song, and all of a sudden, like an underdog is like the best song.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not sure about. I couldn't rate it all yet.
Yeah.
No, when I listened to it the whole way through, I was just so buzzing. I'm like, I just keep doing like little videos of everything. Like, no, don't post it. people have got to wait until tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow to listen to it. Stop it.
It is. But the thing is, though, it's like it's arrived. Like quite a few people have just been jammy. Someone's just messed up, basically, and just pinged them out a little bit early. But it's no big deal once it hits everyone.
I remember a band called the Maccabees, if you remember.
Yeah.
Well, once, this was when they released their fourth album. It turned up 2 weeks early.
What?
Yeah, I was literally the only person as well. So I tweeted about it. So then I've got Given to the Wild, the Maccabees' new album. And they were like, how have you got it?
Well, if
it's like 2 weeks in, I was like, I don't even know. They're like, don't say anything. Like, no one else knows about it. But obviously, me being me, goshite. Everyone, and listen to it.
But if it was the Maccabees' fourth album, it was probably one of the only copies that sent out, wasn't it?
Oh, shut it. They're amazing. Such a good band.
All right.
Anyway, Liam Gallagher is the topic.
Yeah. So, but what did you do, though? Did you just press play at this? Oh, are you vinyl or are you CD?
And vinyl.
You vinyl. Of course. Okay, sorry. How dare I even question?
How dare you?
And what did you do? Did you start with Shockwave? Because obviously the album starts with three of the songs that we know.
You start with the vinyl start.
Okay. You had to do it from the start, yeah?
Yeah, you got to put the needle at the start of the vinyl.
Okay, fair enough.
That is the law. Come on, Jay.
And what did you think?
Right,
so how?
You have to stick a needle in the middle of the vinyl.
I know. I remember the old days when I had to do it. Now I live with the modern time, Sam, and I listen to Spotify because it's the modern world. So what do you think about the fact that it's one of my original thought on this is it's very poppy. There's so many of these songs that have got, like, for instance, I mean, the one that's really been buzzing in my head all day is Now That I Found You, which is just the most joyous, like, fun pop song.
I don't think pop, though. I don't think it's pop, mate.
It's properly pop. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've no issue with it being pop. But, I mean, Now That I Find You, like, I've
shine
got...
pop.
It's shine pop.
Shine but, pop.
But it could be, like, an Elton John song, you know, from the 70s or something. It's pure brilliant pop is what I think about it. But, you know...
Do you know what I think is good that Liam is venturing out of his... comfort zone a little bit.
Well, I think personally I'd rather it was I'm like 7/8 out of 10 on the album, right? And I think
that's good though. That's a good.
It's
rating.
Good. It's good.
I'm probably about the same.
Are you okay?
Actually, there's
okay.
A couple. There was a couple of things that I was like, come on, a bit of filler. Okay. But the most of it is amazing.
Yeah. Good. Good. No. All right. Wonderful. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go on with your review. I'll let you go and listen to the fourth and fifth time. And we'll catch up soon.
We will. You love me on your show, don't you?
Well, that's three in a row now because I used a little bit of you talking cigarettes and alcohol last week. So that will actually be three in a row.
You can't go enough with me.
All right, let's move on. Thank you very much, Sam. Speak soon.
Love you, James.
Bye.
Right, so that was Sam. Thank you very much to her. And you can follow her at @Shiner_Sam if you don't, although I think pretty much everyone in the world does, so there might be a few more of you out there that don't. Right, who else have we got? So we had a couple of messages in. So this is a really good one here from our friend Patrick Rich.
Hi, James. Just want to give my two cents worth on Why Me, Why Not. In the build-up to the album, I wasn't really impressed, to be honest, with a few of the singles released. Shockwave for me is the poorest of the bunch and the poorest song on the album. I think it's like Fake Outrage, and although I appreciate it's catchy and I appreciate why it was released as the lead single, for me I just think everyone involved can do better, really. I think the highlights of the album, which I think is a really, really good album, the highlights come when the songs are reflecting how Liam feels at the moment, and I don't think Liam's in the place where Shockwave tries to be. Shockwave tries to be this angry, aggressive song. Obviously, the aggression's mainly seemingly directed at his brother, but, you know, I just don't think it really achieves anything, and it's a bit average, to be honest, but there we go. One of Us is the one single that I loved. I think it's brilliant, and it's exactly the direction that I personally want Liam to be going in. For me, you know, he has the voice to push himself and to push some boundaries a bit, and it's not different, it's not cosmic pop or anything like that, but it's just a bit something different for Liam, and I think that's a good thing. Really liked One of Us. Once Light Shockwave, I mean, unlike Shockwave, we heard it on at the end of As It Was, and I was really, really excited for it, but it's just never really lived up to the billing for me. I know people love it, but for me, it's a cheap Stop Crying Your Heart Out or, you know, Let There Be Love. It's as if somebody had an Oasis Song for Dummies book, and there's a chapter on, you know, how to write an Oasis anthem, and Once is the result, and it's just, for me, it doesn't come close to what it's trying to achieve. The lyrics in the verse, I just can't give a pass to, unfortunately, and I know that sounds snobbish, because Oasis and Noel and Liam lyrics, they're not, you know, they don't have to be lyrically brilliant to make them good songs, but I don't think the ones in the verses of Once work at all for me, to be honest. The chorus is good, and it does save it as a song. It probably makes it, you know, a 6.5, 7 out of 10 for me. But maybe it's just because I think it could have been such a good song. There is a lot of potential there, but for me, it just doesn't come close. But then I think we go straight on to the strongest part of the album, really, which is tracks 4 to 6. And Now That I Found You is just brilliant. I think it's the best song Liam's put out as a solo artist. I think it's a superb little number. But yeah, it's quality. It's so upbeat, it's so uplifting, and it reminds me of, you know, the 90s. It's Getting Better, Man, some might say, All Around the World. You know, just so upbeat and uplifting songs, and this reflects where Liam's at right now. He's happy, he says he's happy, and he's clearly happy with his family, his career, you know, and in this case, it's his relationship with his daughter. So I love it, I think it's brilliant, and yeah, it's poppy and light, but it's got a lot of callbacks in as well. I mean, to me, it sounds a lot like Moving On Up by Primal Scream. If you play the start of both songs together, it's pretty much the same chords, I think. Right to your door. yeah, it works really well. And then that follows on to Halo, which, again, for me, is the second best song on the album. It's excellent. It's so many different influences, but in the main, I think it's very Rubber Soul. You know, it's even got the same melody in the verse is the melody from You Better Run For Your Life, which obviously is the closing track on that album, and one of my favourite Beatles songs as well. So I love that, but then it kind of goes into a glam rock kind of thing in the middle. And then towards the end, after the middle eight, you've got the piano riff. It sounds so similar to the toy piano riff from Be Here Now for me. And if you play them side by side, I'm sure you'd recognise it as well. I really love it. And yeah, I think it's great. Why Me, Why Not, brilliant as well. Kind of a bit darker, a bit more menacing, but it's got that uplifting message of, you know, why me, why not? Anyone can do it, you can do it, I can do it. So really like that song. Those three songs, I think, are a real centrepiece for the album, work really, really well. So the next one would be Still, and then All Right Now, and Meadow. I think these three songs kind of slow it down a bit. Be Still is obviously fast-paced, and it's okay, but it, that and All Right Now didn't really grab me, to be honest. All Right Now, I would probably ditch. Not that I don't like it. I just think that there's stronger bonus tracks that we'll come to in a second. While Meadow is, I can definitely see the Blue Jay Way reference that Liam mentioned, and definitely hear it, sorry. But again, it's just, it's okay. It's fine. You know, a solid 6.5, 7 out of 10. I like it. Then onto the River of the Stompers, which I think are the River and Shockwave. I much prefer the River. I think it's fine. It does what it says on the, does what it says on the tin. So I think it's fine where it is as well. I do like the River. And then we go into Gone, which is a really good album closer. Like, I can't really argue against it. I even like the spoken word bit. I think it works really well, and it's a bit different. So that's absolutely fine. And Liam's vocals throughout are all brilliant, and the production is brilliant. So a really solid album overall, a 7 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10, you know, so in that region, I really like it. Then onto the bonus tracks, I think Invisible Sun should be the leading track instead of Shockwave. It's a far better song. I wouldn't have had it as a single, I don't think, but as the opening track on the album, superb. And but that is mainly because I just don't really like Shockwave at all. Misunderstood, I would have had on instead of All Right Now. I think it's brilliant. Lovely little melody, simple little song, but it works really well. And then Glimmer is fantastic again, but I think it's fine where it is as a bonus track, a bit like Sail On by Noel. It's you know, it's just a little poppy little one, and I think it works fine as a bonus track. So yeah, I hope I haven't rabbited on too much, and there's my quick review. Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Pat. Really, really good review. Much appreciated. Yeah, how very different. So he doesn't like Shockwave and does like Halo, whereas I tend to be completely the other way around. Shockwave's one of my favourite tracks on the album. Halo, one of my least favourites. So, yeah, well, there you go. I think that was a very good point you made at the start around that for you, it was more about the lyrics, and that when the lyrics felt more genuine to Liam, that's when you felt the songs were stronger. Whereas when you didn't really believe what he was singing, it didn't really mean as much to you. And I think that's a really, really good point, actually. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wonderful. All right, well, let's have another audio message, shall we? This is from Ryan.
Hiya, Oasis Pod. It's Ryan, just giving you a few thoughts on Liam's new record. I've had a couple of days to digest it, and I've got to say I really like it, really enjoyed listening to it, really look forward to listening to it, which didn't as much with As You Were. I think it flows really well as a record. Obviously, there's the four songs we've already heard, but really impressed with the other songs. I think the only song that doesn't really fit in now is The River, which surprised me. But other than that, really enjoyed it. I think now that I found you brilliant, good bit of pop. I loved ones. Still, I think that sounds even better. Sorry about that motorbike driving past. But yeah, overall, really good record. I'm really looking forward to hearing what he plays of it live. Yeah, shout out to Alfie, other regular Oasis podcast listener. But yeah, thanks. Cheers. See you a bit.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Ryan. Much appreciated. And hello to Alfie, if you're also a regular listener. So over to you guys now. That's everyone that got to hear it early. As I am now recording, it's now gone midnight. So it's officially available in the UK. Sorry, America, you've got a few more hours. But yeah, it is now officially available. It's on Spotify, it's on streaming. And hopefully those of you that have ordered your vinyls and your CDs will be getting them very soon. So it's over to you. What did you think about it? Let me know. oasispod@gmail.com, or stay in touch on Twitter and make sure you're following me, because I'll be grabbing some time to speak to a few more people as well, probably in the next week or so. So if you are around and want to have a chat, then let me know and we can do that. All right, now around these parts, you know, we don't just support the ex-Oasis guys. We also like to support new bands and new music. So we've had a message here from Connor from The Surge.
Hello, Connor from The Surge here. Just like to say before I start, everything you do over at Oasis Podcast is great. You know, all your interviews, your A to Z's, man, everything is top-notch quality. Like, couldn't ask for a better roast, man. You do very well. Yeah, so my Oasis started when I was about 16, 17. I found out who Oasis were. I kind of always... Well, I've known who they were, but I've never known any songs or anything, you know, apart from, like, Wonderwall. I was brought up on guitar music from my dad. He listens to stuff like The Smiths, Johnny Cash, Dire Straits, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I fell into Oasis, I guess, from Wonderwall. Like, I'd have heard that, loved that song, and then just jumped into all their songs. Thought, right, I'll jump into this, because I never liked anything that were on charts when I was a younger man. We're all shite, you know what I mean? But yeah, that made me jump into all their songs. That made me want to pick up the guitar when I was like 16, 17. I remember telling a music teacher in school I wanted to do an A-level music. And they were like, oh, do you play all? And I was like, yeah, I play guitar. And he was like, what song can you play? Like, oh, I could play loads of Oasis songs, you know, like, lying my way into the course, because I just were interested in it and I wanted to learn. And so I had to learn Wonderwall and Some Might Say in about 2 months. And from there, I've just gone on a massive spree of listening to every Oasis song, from tracks, you know, B-sides, all their albums, live albums, watching all the gigs on YouTube, man. I just went kind of a bit obsessive, you know what I mean? They influenced the music I'm into, so they made me go back to the Beatles, Stones, Stone Roses, The Verve, Sex Pistols, The Smiths, you know what I mean? They made me go listen to all that stuff. Noel Gallagher and John Lennon are the two people that made me want to write music. You know, the way Noel Gallagher puts vocal melody to chords is, you know, is one of the best to ever do it, in my opinion. And Liam Gallagher's voice influenced the way I sing. I try to get a bit of a Liam/Ashcroft vibe. They're my favourite two vocalists. And yeah, like, Oasis as a whole just made me want to be in a band. Luckily, I found three of mates from school that were all into the same stuff, into the same music and everything. So obviously, we gel together well on that. We write... I wouldn't say we sound like them, but we're obviously influenced by everybody I've just mentioned. But they've changed my whole life. Without Oasis, I wouldn't be doing uni doing music. I wouldn't be in a band. I wouldn't be writing music. I wouldn't be into music as much as them. I don't know what I'd be doing. You know, probably sat behind a desk somewhere. I guess my favourite album is Beer Now. People say there's too much guitar on that album. I say there's not enough. You know, my favourite song on that album is Beer Now, the title track. And if you know what that noise is at the beginning of that song, please tell me, because I do not have a clue. So yeah, thanks for everything you're doing at the podcast anyway, mate. I hope you enjoy the song, and if you end up putting it on the podcast, I really appreciate that, and I hope everybody else enjoys it.
Thank you very much, Connor. Much appreciated. You can follow Connor at ConMac1997, and the Surge Band is at the Surge Band. And to get the answer to that question, what is the sound at the start of the song Be Here Now? I'm sure a few of you were shouting at your iPods or your computers. It is a toy piano owned by one of Mick Jagger's children. If you want more on this, go back and listen to the Be Here Now A to Z episode, where I think we do cover that. Anyway, there you go. Right, that'll do it for today. As I say, next episode we're probably going to dig a bit deeper into Why Me, Why Not, let it settle a little bit, let everyone else hear it. Plus, I should be getting an interview with Chris Elliott, who's the string arranger on a bunch of songs on Why Me, Why Not. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with Chris. So that will do it for today. As ever, thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and special thanks to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post exclusive episodes and other bits and pieces. And one of the things that we're looking to do actually is, if you support at the $5 a month level and you have an idea for a show, then we will happily do a show with you. Do an interview with you, and and one of our $5 patrons has asked to do the later years of Oasis techie stuff, so that will be coming up in a future episode. Do follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com. please subscribe and review on iTunes, and please come out and see me October 11th at the Water Rats with Alan McGee and The Clockworks, and 1st of November at Stereo in Glasgow with Tony McCarroll and with the Oasis tribute band Columbia. Both going to be amazing nights. Do make sure you get your tickets and come on out. They're going to be absolutely fantastic. Right, anyway, enjoy listening to Why Me, Why Not. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.